Pacifica attorney.
One more thing, Ambrose.
Sure.
So that meeting that you're going to have with RFPI, that will include the rest of the PNB negotiating committee?
It will. It will include the RFPI people. That's on the 9th.
Okay, but what about the board reps that we elected to be part of that negotiating team?
Yeah, they were on the last one.
Are they going to be on the next one?
Yep.
Okay, thank you.
The Pacific attorney, I sent you the recommendation coming from Maria, sent his credentials. I've met with him. Since that happened, another board member has recommended several attorneys, and I'm going to look at that and see if I can get the same kind of material from them, and then I'll send that to you prior to our September meeting so that you'll have a chance to make a decision at the September meeting about an attorney for Pacifica. FCC, I've made a habit of sending you all the material so you'll know right after I know about things that happened. Kriegler has filed a response to the FCC complaint, and I'll be sending you, if I haven't already, I'll be sending you copies of his response. And it looks like it's not as serious as we thought at first.
Excuse me, Madam Chair, is this executive session information?
No.
Okay.
No.
I don't think so.
Not the FCC. What that was simply a program that ran on the WBAI. It had to do with the Irish English controversy, and it was historical. And during the course of the historical, I'm being careful here. a word was used. And our FCC attorney has filed an excellent response, and I'll be sending that out to you so you can know that we're not in the kind of serious trouble that we first thought we were in. And
can you say that again? Irish, English, historical? What was that?
You know, the battle has been going on for
Northern Ireland, Wendy.
Ireland. I've heard of that.
They were reviewing the, I've run the same kind of thing on my show in Washington D.C. and but they played a recording during the great controversy in which somebody said the word, and apparently this person has been monitoring WBAI trying to do a gotcha. And he thought that he had gotten a gotcha, and filed a complaint to the FCC. The FCC responded by raising questions, and I sent you that. And Kriegler has filed a report, and once you read the report, you'll understand.
Okay.
That is not as serious as it first appeared. And but I want to. I've sent a warning out to all the GMs. They're going to have to look very carefully at how they operate, because there are people out there who are waiting in the cut, hoping that the words that former FCC Chair Powell protested so much will be said, so that they can file a complaint and cause a serious problems. And the interesting thing is that I had gotten a, I don't want to talk about this on the air, but I know from telephone calls I have received that there are people out there waiting to file complaints. So we have to be extremely careful that we make certain our airways are not used in the manner in which it'll cause us some serious problems and some serious money problems. That's it.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay.
I was just looking over past budgets, and I see there hasn't been an item for the affiliates program. And I'm not part of the finance committee, not really plugged into the budgeting process. What would be the way to kind of track the development of the national budget, and you know, without involving myself in ways that are inappropriate, just how would it be best to express my input on budgeting, particularly for the affiliates issues?
Well, you know that. IRSO has already contacted us about that. So it'll be considered at the national board meeting.
Well, what I'd like to avoid is having it get so far that it's basically a fait accompli by the time.
Oh, no, it's never a fait accompli as far as I'm concerned. The board must make the decision about the budget. Only the board can do that. And we'll be submitting this, quote, national office budget to the finance committee just as we submit the five station budgets.
And can other board members get access to the proposed budgets?
I don't see why not. They're not secret.
What would be the best way to do that? Can you just email it to the whole PMB as opposed to just the committee?
Yes, I would. If we get them in time, you know, I'm very concerned that the three largest stations are so slow in getting their budgets to us so that they can be vetted. But as soon as we get them all, sending them to the board finance committee and to the full board.
That would be good, because I don't think it would be a real effective use of board time to, you know, essentially have a line item veto process on the budgets at the meeting.
Yep.
So any kind of feedback we could get on that, you know, relatively informally prior to that, I think would be helpful for everybody to get the thing through.
Absolutely.
So that'd be great. I'll look for getting that then when the finance committee does. That would be great.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And I'm so glad you asked the question because, you know, I need some feedback from the board. You know, I've been sending you all the information, and I just wonder if I'm inundating you, but I believe in open administration. So I'm going to send you the information, and so I won't have to spend a whole lot of time with PowerPoint at the next meeting.
Point information?
Yep.
Ambrose, did you talk about low-power FM regulations, or didn't you?
No. In fact, what our chair said, that when we got to that we would contact Ursula.
Okay, that's fine.
And she would phone call.
Thank you.
Tell me when you want that done.
I have a personal privilege. I need to step off this call, so I sent an email to you all explaining why. And I will try to come back on later. I'll see you next meeting, if not.
Okay.
Bye.
Thanks a lot, William.
A very quick question for Ambrose. It's Rob.
Yeah.
I'd like to echo the thing Steve says. I think this programming has to be consolidated in some budget location. My major concern, though, with what happened at Pacifica Headline News is it had a further hardening impact on the relations with the affiliates, which we've now built back up to the point where there are nearly 100 of them. How can we avoid things like that broadcast just dropping off suddenly in future, which will further, you know, estrange the affiliates from us?
Well, there should be no reason that to ever happen again. In fact, I made the decision to cut that item out of the budget because we at that time it made no sense. And what I did was to contact using Ursula because of her relationship with the affiliate and Ron Pinchback, where they're produced, and Verna Avery Brown and the Free Speech Radio News representative, and they met at WPFW in Washington, worked out, and a whole lot less cost than we had before. And so that's the only reason that stopped.
Excuse me. Do you hear me?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I tried to vote even, and I wasn't heard. But anyway, So you're saying that the headlines stopped because you, Ambrose, said we didn't have enough money for them?
Yes, it's a little bit more detailed than that, but I wouldn't do it on the air.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any further questions for Ambrose?
They moved the agenda.
Hello? Hello?
We hear you. I don't believe there are any further questions.
Sorry.
I think we're fine.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
This is the
update. Sorry, Fadi, before you get going. Teresa, could you give Ursula a call since we're going to be moving to that agenda item next?
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Go ahead, Fadi.
Thank you. Ambrose, was that your entire update? And I may have missed something when I left the call really briefly.
Yeah, that's the update.
That's of everything.
Plus everything I've sent you.
No. And I've been updated. No. The question I have is with regards to the HR person, I may have stepped away and I did not hear what you commented. Could you let us know about that?
Oh, yeah, we hired the HR person. In fact, after I hired her, I gave instructions to refer any call she got to me because for the first 2 weeks I wanted her to do nothing but study the material and pull together what we needed to do to create a structure here that made some sense and to put systems in place that should have been in place a long time ago. And you'll be seeing them very soon. Before the next board meeting, you'll see what her work has been. And she's going to come down for one day to our meeting to give sexual harassment training to all of our GMs.
Great, thank you.
Yeah, I'll be sending a whole lot of stuff in the mail, believe me.
Thank you. That was
we have already done it to the GMs, and the GMs are being extremely cooperative because they also see the value in what we're trying to put together here.
Sounds great. Thank you.
Excuse me, Madam Chair. May we have that person's, the HR director's name?
Yes, Yolanda Thomas.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, are there any further questions for Ambrose? Hearing none.
Julie?
Yes.
This is Wendy. I actually dropped off the call for a minute, so I don't know where we're at. So I hear you talking about the HR director. I'm wondering if this is an appropriate time to ask if the KPFT LSB can have a meeting with the HR director when they're in Houston, because we have a lot of issues here, too.
Well, we have her scheduled now simply to do the training, but we'll take a look at it.
Yeah, please. I sent you an email about it. Maybe you lost it. I'm sure you must be getting 1,000 emails a day by now, Ambrose.
Nearly as many as I used to get.
Well, we were just thinking, you know, yes, us PNB members will have to be at the meeting, but if she's already going to be here anyway, we really do have some serious issues that we would love to have her advise us on. So I think that, you know, the other LSB members would like to just have some kind of meeting with her while we're all in our other meeting.
We'll see.
It would be awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Madam Chair?
Yes, sir.
Point of information that the meeting adjournment time is 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we're about 25 minutes over it.
We kept extending time.
Okay.
Well, thank you for that. We do need to be more diligent about moving this meeting along.
Yeah.
We'll have to go into executive session.
The end of this item, Madam Chair, is at 7:33.
Okay. Well, I don't hear any further questions for Ambrose. So I'd like to go ahead and move forward to the low-power FM motion. So, Teresa, are you back on the call?
I'm on the call.
Okay, and has Ursula been able to join us yet?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, great. Perfect timing. Thank you so much, Ursula, again, for making the time
sure.
to be with us tonight. Teresa, why don't you go ahead and just kind of introduce it, and then I'd like for just Ursula to make a couple of quick comments as well, and then we can open it up for discussion.
Well, everyone should have received most recently the resolution. It has to do with low-power FM stations. Because we have over 80 affiliates, and a good number of those are low-power FM stations, we are naturally concerned with how the FCC treats low-power FM stations, and we have interests that intersect with theirs. Prometheus et al. Has filed papers with the FCC on some of the most recent FCC actions that impact low-power FM stations, and we would like to submit a reply which supports what Prometheus is saying, and there are some issues that we feel need more emphasis, so we will mention that in our reply. And Ursula has met with our attorney, Mr. Kriegler, on this several times and has put in a lot of work on this, and she and I have discussed it. The committee members, most of them have weighed in on this, and maybe Ursula has something to add. I don't know.
Okay, thanks, Teresa. I guess, first of all, I wanted to ask, do most people on this call, have you seen the proposal that I sent, and do you basically understand what this is? Is there somebody who really, really doesn't understand what's going on? Okay, I'll take that silence as a positive thing. I spoke with all of the general managers of Pacifica today, and they all, to their credit, all support this. And so there was just like a few brief things I wanted to say about it. If Pacifica replies in favor of this proposal, this is a significant action that we can take, and the FCC will take note of it. Since we are a network of 6 full-power stations and a broadcast network of many more full-power stations that affiliate with us. So, in other words, we are the people who would have something to lose by a ruling in the low-powered favor. So let me just really briefly address what we would have to lose so that you understand that. Basically, what we would be doing with this reply is we would be accepting a new generation and a new type of radio stations who are trying to arrive on the scene and which may compete for spectrum space with us. But it needs to be clear that they will not compete for spectrum space for regular station spectrum, but for the spaces between the stations, which you could get with translators, since that's where the LPFMs also reside. They don't reside in the full-power spectrum space. So that's really what we would have to lose, and that's why the FCC would take note of our actually speaking in favor of this. I also want to say that if we would speak in favor of them, it would have historic significance. It would be an act of pioneering because some of you may know that with the introduction of LPFMs, there has been some organizing by full-powered stations against LPFMs. Most notably, the NPR group actually did considerable damage to the LPFMs, which still hasn't been rectified. So there has been kind of a proverbial, line in the sand drawn where we would really be the first significant group of full-powered stations to step forward and say, we stand with them. And in a way, this is very fitting because we're really the first network that has integrated low-powered stations into our world by having so many affiliates that are low-powered stations. So why do this? First of all, because we have so many affiliates that are low-powered, and because Prometheus Project, although it's largely responsible for creating these stations, so they play a significant role in media. Once the stations are created, when the stations go to Prometheus and say, we want to be part of a network now for support, Prometheus says to them, go to Pacifica, because that's really the political entity that stands for a broadcast or network that stands for local media. So it's an opportunity for us to stand for the principle of local media, which, you know, ultimately in the end supports us as well. So in a way, the LPFMs are playing the role of the lion and the mouse, where, you know, it seems that we're helping them, but in fact, because they stand so much for local media, they stand for a principle which defends us as well. So that's kind of, I just wanted to convey a little bit of the kind of political and historic significance of this. And it's really that the low powers are really a powerful and important ally in this. And this is really about, mission fulfillment. And it's about really, you know, addressing our, you know, I'm kind of asking you to step back for a minute as directors and take a long shot of what Pacifica is, and to, you know, to really to see that this is a moment where we can realize our mission, you know, as a significant institution of progressive America that does have the capacity to network and build coalitions that can have an effect. We're always, you know, feeling that the right only is doing that and the left isn't. This is really an opportunity where we can show our capacity to do that. So I wanted to express that. And I just want to finish up with saying there's one caveat in the proposal that I'm suggesting, and I'm asking for a little bit of leeway on this. I don't think it will matter to any of you. There's just most affiliates or many so far have actually responded by thanking Pacifica for possibly taking this role, and I think some of them will sign on with us. And But one low power did raise the issue that they might want to also have translators as well as full powered stations. And so there's one sentence in here where we're saying that LPFMs cannot have more than one license or translators. And I guess that's something that would not affect us really. But if enough LPFMs speak up and say they want to be able to do that, I might consider that we might want to change, be looser on that one issue. So what I want to make sure, though, is that everybody on this call understands the translator issue, because that's where we have something at stake. But I don't want to go into it unless people really feel they need clarification.
Madam Chair, we're a minute and a half over.
Okay, thanks, Ursula, for that introduction. I will entertain a motion to extend time on this item.
I move to extend
time
10
by
minutes?
5 minutes.
Oh, 5 minutes.
Okay, I heard.
And I want to be on the stack.
Okay, I heard a 5 minute extension. Is that?
I'll say 10 minutes.
10 minutes. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, are there any objections?
Hearing I'd like to be on the stack. This is Steve.
What was that?
I'd like to be on the stack. It's Steve.
Oh, okay. So I have Fadi, Steve.
Sarv.
Fadi, Steve, Sarv.
And throw Maria in.
Maria. Okay, let's start with Fadi, and we're going back to the two-minute rule.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm in total. I do support LPFM. I think it's really important to support. So we are a full-power network. Essentially, our ideals and our programming is what you would find on low power, not on traditional mainstream full power stations. So I think it's really a very important thing to do to show solidarity and, yes, be the first. So, Ursula, thank you. And I think Maria may have sent out something as a compromise language.
No, actually what I had sent out was the initial language, and then I think Ursula refined it. I just haven't seen her.
Oh, okay. Somebody did something to it. But
yeah,
whatever's out there, I do support it.
Yeah, what I did is I added to it, I made it more explicit to show seriousness of intention, and then the lawyer in the end kind of refined it a little bit more. He actually made it a little bit longer for legal reasons.
I'm in full support of this whole idea and concept and in action.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on the sack, I think it was...
Pierce, I think, Steve. Madam Chair.
What was that?
Pierce? Steve?
Yes.
Yeah. I'd just like to say that if there were any issues with supporting this, it would be because some of the individual stations have designs on translators in their individual markets, and the fact that Ursula got support from the managers would indicate that there's no reason not to support it. And beyond that, I would just like to say that my experience with LPFM, and particularly the Prometheus Radio Project, which is leading this, has been that they've really breathed new life into the community radio movement. It's really an inspiring group of people, and we would do well to join with them in support of this.
You're here.
Thank you, Steve. Sarv and then Maria.
I join Steve and Fadi both in supporting this worthwhile project here. And also, I have a couple of little questions. Ursula said that 20% of our affiliates are LPFM. Is that correct?
A little bit more than 20%. I think right now it stands at 18 or 19.
Okay. Well, I think that's a pretty significant number. And I think as long as their mission is in line with the total Pacifica mission, I think we should support each and every one of them. And as long as there's no cost involved for us, I'm fully in support of it.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, Maria.
Maria?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Hi, sorry about that. I think I had it on mute. On the translator issue that somebody raised, I think it was Steve, the way we've articulated it, and we talked with all the affiliates that were at the conference, at the grassroots radio conference, is I think we ended up settling on a 100-mile radius. And that actually, I think all of our translators are still within 100 miles. So it still allows those stations that we have that have translators and other stations that may be affiliated that have translators, it keeps it kind of in that real community level. And so that's why I think everybody feels like the way we've articulated this works for all of the Pacifica family.
Okay. This is Teresa. May I ask for one point of clarification from Ursula?
Go ahead,
yeah.
Teresa.
One of the bullet points is that we support the recommendation that multiple ownership of LPFM licenses should be prohibited or significantly limited, and we oppose proposals that would invite or permit organizations to own more than one LPFM. How would we justify if we had an opportunity to be given or to have LPFM stations?
Well, that's kind of there's a little bit of mixing of apples and oranges there, because what you have to remember is that our stations are, that would be really a good question for the lawyer, because our stations are, in a sense, basic, locally managed, but they are nationally owned.
Okay.
So I think that it doesn't really affect this, but it is a question for our lawyer. That the local eligibility requirements of a station would have to be addressed, and I think I don't know. It could. What's more of a matter of concern for that is whether we could own an LPFM, because this resolution is asking to uphold the principle of localism, which says that stations should be locally owned in their own community. Now, with a Pacifica station, you would have to work with a lawyer to define whether a Pacifica station is locally owned or not, and it might not be. So that's an actually really interesting question. I didn't think to ask John that, but it's a good question. But at the very most, what it would mean would be that we might not be able to justify having an LPFM, although there might be a way, because our stations are locally managed, that it might be possible. I'm not sure.
I'd like to call the question just based on the amount of other business we have to do tonight.
What? There's no question.
Oh, good point.
I mean,
there a motion that was
introduced?
I made it. This is Teresa. I'm sorry if it was not. I mean, I was asked to speak. I would ask that the National Board endorse the reply comments of the Pacifica Foundation to the FCC.
I second the motion.
This is Wendy. I think I was on the stack, but I would be in favor of calling the question.
Okay, wait a minute. Teresa, say that again. You moved that the PMB endorsed. Go ahead.
The reply comments of the Pacifica Foundation to the FCC in the matter of LP. Well, in, it says in the matter of creation of a low-power radio service. Ursula, do you have a comment on how it should be?
I have a point of information. I'm not sure. I'm not real familiar with the procedure, but I just figured out the answer to your question, Teresa.
Okay.
Which is the eligibility requirements for the station to be local is that 8 hours of it be local programming, so that wouldn't be a problem for Pacifica.
All right.
8 hours of programming during any particular time or over 24 hours?
I don't remember if there's specified time.
So
but it,
Donna Warren, did you need for me to repeat that motion again, or do you want a resolution, or do you want to try to repeat it?
I'll repeat it, but just listen, okay? Director Allen moved that the PNB endorse the reply comment of the Pacifica Foundation to the FCC in the matter of creation of a low-power radio service.
This is Wendy.
Wait a minute, Wendy. Is that what you
Ursula, do we need to refer to the docket number? You can
I don't know.
You can put MM docket number 99-25, and everyone has, all of our national board has been sent this reply.
Point of information, Teresa. Madam Chair. Julie?
Yes, Sarv, go ahead.
Point of information.
Go ahead.
I would like to know, are we endorsing our attorney's reply to FCC?
What we're doing is, this is what we're doing. The FCC agreed to reconsider the rules and regulations governing low-powered stations. When they open up for reconsideration, they have to entertain public commentary. Commentary was made, and the Prometheus Project, along with 27 other media groups, filed a proposal basically saying what they wanted changed, as well as thousands of other people also. I mean, many people filed. Okay, we did not file a comment, mostly because we didn't have a board meeting in time to do it. What we're doing now is doing what's called a reply, which means that now the comments have been filed, there's a window of time when other groups can respond to what's been said. So what we're doing is we're replying mainly to the Prometheus Project's proposal and saying, in spirit, we agree with that. We have a few differences regarding translators, but basically we're behind what they want.
Madam Chair, we're out of time. So
okay,
maybe...
thanks, Donna.
Pardon me?
No, I just said thank you. So we should move to a vote on this item.
I'd like to move to extend time because I had a comment that I'd like to make. It's not going to be long. Can I move to extend time for 5 minutes?
Is there a second?
Oh. 2 minutes. 2 minutes, just for you.
2 minutes. 1 second.
Second.
2 minutes would work. Is there an objection to that?
No,
not for 2 minutes.
Okay, so I was at GRC, and I was participating in these conversations, and so really what this was is, it's extremely important because Pacifica needs to take a stand on this. At the same time, we need to protect our affiliates. We need to protect ourselves. Some of the deal is that some of us have applications for translators out there, and we need them. We would like to have them. But at the same time, there's been a whole bunch of weirdness going on about those applications. So anyway, what this was NFCB working together with Pacifica and Prometheus. NFCB wanted a 500-mile distance on the translators, and Prometheus wanted zero. So Pacifica, the people that were talking in favor of Pacifica at this meeting said, oh, how about 100 miles? So that is, you know, all of this is an attempt to get one of these things passed. And so, you know, 100 miles is a really good compromise for Pacifica to take. I object to the way Teresa worded the motion. I mean, it didn't really make a lot of sense. She said then we were going to you know, be in favor of the start of some low power FM station. I actually don't remember what it was at this point, but we should go ahead and approve this motion. It's extremely important for us to take I think it's an editorial. We're doing an editorial position. I don't think there's any reason to vote against this. I forgot my main point I was going to make, but here we go. I hope we vote for it.
Okay, let's go ahead and move forward with the vote then, Donna. Or are there any objections to the motion?
Maybe if there's any objections.
I think we should have a roll call vote. I object.
Okay, so can you go ahead and...
Okay, motion 5, move that the PMB... Thanks a lot. Hold on.
Endorse?
Yeah, hold on. You know, all these blockers or whatever they are.
Oh, you guys, the thing I forgot to say is that we should just endorse the motion as submitted by Ursula. That was what I wanted to say.
That's fine, yeah.
Do you want to change the motion, Madam Chair?
I don't know if I'm in the position to change it. What's the will?
As the maker of the motion, I'm perfectly happy to change it that way if you would like it phrased that way.
Okay. Are there any objections to that from the board?
Well, Madam Chair?
Yes.
I don't know if we can, in other words, Ursula cannot present a motion because she's not a member of this body.
No, so Teresa is accepting her motion as a substitute.
But what Wendy just said is that we would adopt the motion as presented by...
Madam Chair, may I clarify? Mark, may I please clarify? I'm just asking that the National Board endorse the response...
No, I got it, Teresa.
The item that you have that has been sent to you. It doesn't matter who it came from. It's been sent to you.
No, in a minute, the maker of the motion is Teresa.
I'd like to clarify. I would like to endorse the motion as presented by Teresa.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Wendy. So, Donna, can we go move forward with the roll call vote?
Okay, the motion is to accept the motion as presented by Teresa, by Director Allen.
Slight amendment, which would be, and also as offered to us by our attorney, Kriegler. Because he's the one that really ultimately, polished this up for us. I just want people to feel comfortable with the legal side of it.
I think that you guys should get the motion together before we vote.
Maybe move it to the next meeting.
Madam Chair,
well, there's some time
pressure. Can't do that. We can't move it to the next meeting.
Okay,
we have a deadline.
Guys.
We're in the process of voting. I'm not going to entertain any further amendments because we were already in the process of voting. I think that people understand that this was drafted by our attorney and feel comfortable with it. I don't think that it's necessary to include it in the motion.
Okay,
the motion says to to accept the motion as presented by Director Allen.
Okay.
I don't know that there's enough clarity on that, you guys. I'm sorry.
We've been discussing it for the past 20 minutes, so I'm hoping that...
Madam Chair?
Yes,
Madam Chair. This is Teresa.
Yes, Teresa.
As I originally phrased it, I mean, when you're asking the body to accept a motion that I made, and the motion has a title, that is that we accept Teresa's motion for the reply comment of the Pacifica Foundation to the FCC. So,
as presented to her by Ursula. How about that?
Another point of order. Quick suggestion here. I just would like to suggest that if the motion is not ready to be voted on, there are two matters of time pressure. One is that this meeting, it's now 11 o'clock on the East Coast, and we have some important business to resolve before the end of tonight. And I know that this motion has to pass tonight in order for it to make a difference with the FCC. So if we don't have something that we can vote on, could you work out the language of it and return at the end of the executive session with it, as opposed to making the entire board sit and go through the motion together? Are we ready to vote on it or not? If we're not ready to vote on it, I'd like to call the motion and move on.
Can we read the letter into the record and vote on that? Will that work?
Excellent, yes.
Because then we know what we're voting on.
Let's do it. Can I just say I'd like to vote yes on it? Go.
Madam Chair, Madam Chair.
Can you please read the letter into the record so that we can vote?
It is very long.
Yes,
can everyone quick put it in
the record? Why don't we just enter into the record?
Madam Chair, do you want me to read it?
No, just
no. Let's not take up time.
Right.
Madam Chair, this is
we've all received this, and I'm not going to continue to take up time, so either we're going to vote now or we're going to move on.
Thank you. Let's vote.
Call a question.
The question's been called. Are there any objections? Okay, hearing none. Donna, can you read the motion?
Okay. The motion, I kind of would like to read the first motion because the second one just says the motion is accept as presented by Director Allen.
Yeah.
The first, before that was changed, the motion was Director Allen moved that the PNB endorse the reply comment of the Pacifica Foundation to the FCC, in quotes, in the matter of creation of a low-power radio service, close quote, with a reference of MM docket number 99-25.
Yes.
Okay. So, want to vote on that?
Yes.
Okay, roll call.
Are there any objections to the motion? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I just wondered if I was muted or not. Ha ha, sorry.
So we're well over time, as Steve had noted, so we really need to move quickly through the rest of our agenda and move into executive session. The next item...
Thank you, Ursula.
Okay,
yes,
I'm going to hang up. Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. The next agenda item is the formal acceptance of Teresa Allen as the KPFT representative on the Governance Committee. I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
A second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Are there any objections?
I have a question.
Yes, Donna?
How many committees are you on, Teresa?
On a national level, I'm only on the Finance Committee, the Affiliates Committee, and the Archives Committee, which are really, those last two are not really considered committees at this time. They're considered task forces.
So my follow-up question is, are those committees all functioning, or, well, you said they're not really considered committees, so maybe not a lot of time is spent on that?
Well, the Archives has not met for the summer, but they are conducting work, so...
So, Teresa, you feel that you have enough time to be able to step onto this committee?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So, Teresa's accepted it. Are there any objections?
No.
I don't think any.
Okay, hearing none, let's move on to the next agenda item. The coordinating committee at its last meeting had voted to begin the PNB meeting at 10 a.m. on Friday morning.
9
allow...
a.m., actually.
What was that?
9 a.m., actually.
Was it 9?
Yeah.
Shoot, I thought it was 10. I apologize. Thank
it's
you
okay.
for that clarification.
No problem.
9 a.m. Pacific time?
9 a.m. Houston time.
Local time, yeah.
So we wanted to come back to the full PNB with that. Our reasoning for doing that was to allow for a sufficient time to interview candidates. And as I was beginning to conceive of the agenda for our next September PNB meeting, we have a ton of matters to move through, including the budget, including selection of a Pacifica attorney, including the numerous reports that we deal with, as well as selection of the new executive director. And so my recommendation in that and what I can do to sort of expedite this process is tomorrow send around a draft agenda with these recommendations. But my recommendations would be to interview the candidates starting at 9 a.m. on Friday morning, to move into deliberation after we interview them, to open up the Pacifica session, open up our public session with actual public comment from potentially two of the candidates that we've been able to narrow the process down to, and then go back into deliberation that evening after the public's had an opportunity to interface with the two finalists for the ED position and then actually reach a decision that Friday night. My concerns are that the process of... No, Friday night. My concerns that are that the selection process of an executive director will overly dominate the September meeting, and considering that we need to pass the budget, and again, there's other critical issues before us, those would be my recommendations. So, but regardless, the motion before us is from the coordinating committee to convene the PMB meeting at 9 a.m. on Friday.
Do we need a second for that, or what?
Well, it came out of the committee unanimously, so no.
No, but that's totally different than what the committee said. Can I speak?
Yeah, the only thing that I'm presenting to the board, though, from the committee is just beginning at 9 a.m., not anything else. The other was just my, again, initial conception of the agenda. I just wanted to give you all...
And I want to second that,
context.
The 9 a.m. begin time.
9 a.m. is Friday.
Is that, what day is that, Madam Chair?
That's Friday.
Friday, September 23rd, I think.
So you're wanting everybody to get there Thursday night?
Yes.
I, you know, I can't do that.
You know, a lot of people already made their reservations.
Rather than people just commenting.
Yeah, Wendy would like to be on the stack.
Okay,
I'd
Wendy.
I'd like to be on the stack as well.
Maria on the stack.
And Bob, I think, as well.
Wendy, Fadi, Bob, who else?
Donna. Maria.
Maria.
And Donna.
Well, I'll hold.
Okay. As a member of both the Executive Search Committee and the Coordinating Committee, what I thought the Coordinating Committee was recommending was that, yes, please, let's start the PNB meeting at 9 a.m. on Friday. It was thought that, well, actually, if it was 9 a.m., maybe not, but that some people might be able to fly into Houston on Friday morning. But, yes, we would pay for people to come to stay the night on Thursday night, there was a different, you know, some of us thought that we should start interviewing candidates at 9 a.m. Some of us thought that we should interview candidates at noon. If you interview candidates at 9 a.m., then you're asking to pay for their hotel room for Thursday night as opposed to them probably being able to fly in there on Friday morning. There are a ton of things that we all need to do at this meeting, and a whole lot of it is executive session. And since traditionally PNB meetings start at 6 p.m. on Friday, it was thought that we could do PNB executive sessions all day on Friday and then go to the public meeting at 6 p.m. Friday evening. So I don't have a huge issue either way with whether we start the executives, the candidate interviews at 9 or noon, but the Mark's point is actually kind of good that we might want to talk to each other in executive session before we start talking to those candidates. And we have issues like, you know, who's going to be our lawyer and, you know, probably executive sessions that we should do maybe about general managers and stuff. There's a whole bunch of stuff that we should do in executive session, and the public can't be expected to drop everything like their jobs and come during the day on Friday anyway. So and the way we our committee, I'm also on the committee planning the PNB meeting, and so we've set aside executive session time during that time, and that shouldn't be an issue with the public, who expect that meetings, the public meetings start at 6 p.m. on Friday and go for the rest of the weekend. I'm a lot concerned about the proposed agendas that I've seen for the weekend that seem to include mostly executive sessions for the whole time. So I would recommend that we do the daytime on Friday, starting at 9, going until 5, in executive session, And hopefully a lot of the rest of that weekend, even though we have to do call an executive session or two, will be mostly devoted to public meetings. So anyway, that you know, we've got meeting rooms set up. Whether they're at the hotel or whether they're at the meeting space, they're all available. So I hope that the PNB will vote to everybody come in to be available for 9 a.m. on Friday morning.
Okay.
Madam Chair, are we doing the 2 minutes?
Yes. Now, before we move to the rest of the stack, I want to clarify that our vote right now only needs to be that when we begin the PMB meeting, and what I will do first thing tomorrow is begin circulating a draft agenda that where we can begin to put comments on some of the other placements. And I just state that not to cut off discussion because I think this is critical, but as you all know, we have a 40-minute executive session ahead of us. So I wanted to...
Point of order.
Yes.
Can the people on the stack speak to the motion that's on the floor?
Yeah, only the 9 a.m.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sorry if I didn't do that.
We have Fadi, Bob, Maria, and Donna.
I think starting at 9 a.m. would be great. If you saw the email that came from Bob Letter, you'd understand that 9 to 10 is not actually meeting, but rather reviewing some things. 9 a.m. is very important. We have possibly coming 5 candidates. An hour apiece, that takes a chunk of time, and then we have public session. We need to deliberate while it's still fresh in our minds. So starting early is good. I understand some folks can't make it and want to participate, and I'm sure we can figure out a way for people to arrive bright and early in the morning. I'm sure there's flights in the middle of the night or something of that nature.
I can't hear very well.
Okay, I support 9 a.m. I'm not sure if anyone opposes that, but I'd like to see if we could move this on so we could go on to the other portion of that, which is what Bob Letterer had sent out in an email.
Okay, Bob?
Well, Fatty spoke for me, so I have nothing to add. I agree.
Okay. Don or Maria?
Well, I'm on the search committee, and I cannot figure out how I could possibly get in on Friday morning. I don't know how many people can, but it's pretty problematic. So I just wanted to put it out there that, I'll probably be missing, and others may as well. And I understand the need we have to get stuff done, but, it's a lot of extra time that I don't know that I could get time off for.
Hey, Donna?
Point of information?
Go ahead.
How many other people besides Maria could not come and Friday morning, and if so, what time could they come? Is there anyone else who has that problem?
Well, actually, that was my question, kind of, because if Yeah, because I remember that we were asked to go ahead and make our plane reservations to save money. So I'm just wondering how many people are going to have to change their reservation, if they can, to accommodate this new time. And that would mean, naturally, a penalty.
This is Wendy.
Yeah,
the reason that we so were encouraging people to get their plane tickets, we said this all along, that we need people to be there on Friday day. Now, we didn't come up with a formal resolution from the coordinating committee until a little bit later, but we were asking, and Ambrose was asking, everybody to get their reservations for Thursday night. Now, what we thought at that time was that Thursday night, we did this on purpose to make it so that people could go to work on Thursday and get there in time for Friday morning.
I thought it was Friday at 1, which, and I don't know where I got that information.
Well, that is kind of what Mark said, but we always said that we wanted to do the morning for other stuff so if you can't do that, that's unfortunate, but...
I just found a flight.
We could do some other executive session stuff in that morning.
Okay.
I was talking out of turn, so go ahead, you guys.
Order.
In the interest of time, I'd like to just move forward with a vote on the 9 a.m. thing.
Thank you.
And move into executive session.
Thank you.
So we've completed the stack. Are there any objections to beginning the PNB meeting at 9 a.m. on Friday morning?
Yes. With executive sessions all day.
What was that?
I object.
I object.
Okay, there's two objections. We'll go to a roll call vote, but there was also a comment.
Yeah, I just want to make one comment for LAX people. You can leave, I know it's a horrible hour, 1:10 a.m. on Friday a.m. and arrive at 6:14 in Houston.
Okay, thanks, buddy.
Thanks.
If you can email that out to the board, that would be great. And we're going to respond to the roll call vote. Donna?
Okay, buddy.
Hey, trying to be helpful here.
Since we see you, okay, motion 7 is, the motion, the chair presented a motion from the coordinating committee to convene the PNB at 9 a.m. on Friday, September the 23rd. Marty?
Yes.
Steve?
Yes.
LaVarne?
I abstain.
William?
He went off.
He's off.
Patty?
Yes, I support it. Sorry.
Marv?
Yeah.
Yes.
Dave? Maria?
No.
Chair. Donna? No. Joe?
I'll abstain.
Ngozi?
Yes, I abstain.
Oh, you abstain? Yes. Oh, come on now. You missed. Abstain. Okay. Wendy?
Yes.
Teresa?
I'll abstain.
Patty? Patty Heffley?
Yes.
Ray LaForce?
I guess I'll abstain too.
Bob?
Yes.
Michael?
No.
Ambrose?
Yes.
Mark?
Hey, that's a call.
Okay. Rob?
Yes.
Serena?
Yes.
Okay. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 yes. And 1, 2, 3 no's. And everybody else is or they weren't on the call. So it passed, Madam Chair.
Okay.